how great thou art. You know, God is so, so good. He will reach to the lowest of the lows. You know, reach out into the deepest pit to pull the sheep out. And he'll reach to the furthest corners of the earth to bring a sheep back to him, just for one of his sheep, to make him feel comforted and to remind him of the security that we really have in him. And, you know, we can be here. We can be close to this body. We can be close to God physically, geographically. And we might think we're close in our mind to him, but our hearts can be very, very far away. And he is the only one who can make us realize that and cause us to realize that. And he's also the one who reaches out and brings us back into him. And I'm just so thankful for him. I mean, if there's anybody here who's a living testimony to that, it's me. And I just want to praise God for his faithfulness and for his love to extend and reach out through people, through himself, through his word. When we're in the darkest of the darkest places, he's always there. He's always there to comfort us and give us that assurance in him. Praise God.
Now, I was just sitting there thinking that we have some visiting with us today, and it may seem a little strange, the thought of just sitting and waiting on the Lord. But the Word teaches us to do that, doesn't it? He talks about those that grow weary and tired, and it says, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. And I'm just wanting to encourage each and every person. Now, you know, Phil's not here today, but he would remind us the Lord is here. He is here, and everything that is needed today for the present, he provides. So I just wanted to encourage any and everybody to feel free to share whatever the Lord may lay on your heart. I was thinking back on the men's meeting this morning, and it was a blessing. Michael mentioned that such a blessing to be able to come together and just share fellowship. And one of the things the Lord was emphasizing was meeting us right where we are and using us right where we are. You know, not a lot of us have a ministry in the word per se, a public ministry, and yet we're all called to be to take part in this ministry of reconciliation that the Lord has provided at a tremendous cost. He paid the price we cannot fathom to redeem us back unto himself and to the Father. And we all and everyone have a testimony, whether we realize it or not, of the amazing love and grace of God. And you know, that may be, as we shared this morning, you know, you may just have a few words, but if it's by the Spirit, I mean, the Spirit of God said, let there be light, a lot happened. Three words. So it's not a matter of the length of what's shared, but just sharing from your heart what the Lord would lay on your heart. And I was thinking about the demon-possessed man there in the Gadarenes that, well, the Lord had told disciples, he says, go over to the other side. He was going to stay there and pray and said, or let's go. No, he said, in this case, I believe it was, he said, let's go to the other side. He was with them. And if I'm not mistaken, this was the account. And of course, the storm came up. And the enemy's very good at bringing up storms, even unto our own hearts and minds, to try to hinder what he would do in us, through us, for our brother and our sister. But, you know, the Lord's at rest in that, and we can be at rest in that. To have a rest and a peace, it's like we shared this morning, that's part of the light of Christ in us, being able to, as Brother Lawrence Medici said, dance even in the storm. We can, by God's grace. The disciples were a little bit concerned because they were taking on some water there, and the Lord was asleep in the bottom of the boat, and they went down and said, Lord, aren't you concerned we may perish? And his reply was, where is your faith? he had already said, let's go to the other side. So it was a done deal, right? But that word of, it's again, like Brother Lawrence said, it's the Lord having patience with us to bring us to grow our faith and to bring us to that place where our faith lays hold of his promise. And we know when he speaks, it is life. It is done. It is finished. Praise God. He cried out on the cross. It is finished. And I just wanted to encourage everybody like the Lord. You remember what happened there when the devil tried to hinder, but he couldn't. And the Lord said, peace be still. And even the waves and the wind had to obey. And the disciples went, oh, wow, who is this? The Lord, the Father was still opening their hearts and their minds to who he was. And but when they got there and the demon-possessed man, now the demons would not have wanted him to approach him, they'd have bet, but they didn't have any control over that. The Father saw the man's heart, and he made it possible for him to come. But of course, they cried out. They had such possession. They're the ones that cried out, said, what are you coming to destroy us, you know, or whatever. I can't remember the account, exactly what the spirits said. But they knew their time was up. And they even pleaded with him, you know, just don't just cast us out. There's a herd of pigs up here, you know, at least let us go into them. And so the Lord said, hey, go. And the father had a plan in that too, because when they went in those pigs and they went absolutely mad and ran down into the sea and drowned themselves, even the people that were watching after the pigs, they went back into town and said, something strange is going on out here. And so a lot of the people came out. And when they did, they found this man fully clothed and sane and sitting at the Lord's feet. Their reaction at that time was, hey, leave here. And of course, some of them may have been the owners of the pigs. Who knows? But, I mean, regardless, all the people, they said, we won't want any part of this. Get out of here. And the Lord didn't argue with them. They got ready and were getting ready to leave. And this man, whom God had saved and delivered, he was like, I think any of us would have been, Lord, I want to go with you. I mean, he was ready to get in the boat too, wasn't he? I mean, that was his. He was asking the Lord. He was wanting to go with him. And the Lord said, no, stay here and tell everyone what God has done for you. Folks, we all have a testimony. I mean, there is no greater testimony than to be like, has been said, drawn out of the deepest of pit. He saves. Brother Thomas used to refer to that scripture. He said, the Lord saves from the guttermost to the uttermost those that call out to him and cry out to him. We are redeemed. We have a wonderful testimony. And it's not a matter of preaching to people. It's a matter of just, as was shared this morning so richly by so many, I was so blessed. Just help us to let your light shine. Amen. This world is dark. It desperately needs light. I want to be a vessel, as the scripture says, meet for the master's use, don't you? I want that light. It's him. It's Christ. He is that light to shine out. When you can have a peace in the middle of all the turmoil that's going on, you can have a joy in this world of sorrow. People see that. They may not know they're seeing the Lord, but if you've got that, that's who it is. It's the Lord that gives us that peace, that rest, life, reason to live, and reason to die. Reason to die in every sense of the word, not just when we're going home, but to die daily, as Paul was talking about, to be able by God's grace to share in our precious Lord's reproaches, in his sufferings, in his death, that we may share in his resurrection life. It's that resurrection life. Our God, he reigns, he lives, he reigns, And I desire, and I believe we all do more and more, simply to be a vessel through which he can shine out. And the scripture teaches us to have a ready answer. That was shared again this morning too. Have a ready answer of those who would ask of the hope that's within us. Why would they ask of the hope that's in us? They see it. They see somebody that don't fall apart when everything goes backwards, but rather can find a rest in the Lord, in his heart, his will, knowing he rules. He rules in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. There's none that can stay his hand or even question what are you doing? Now, he's doing exactly what needs to be done every step of the way, even though we don't see and understand a lot of the times. By his grace, by his spirit, we can say, Lord, I'm so thankful you're in control. I'm so thankful you're doing heart operations in here that only you can do, and ways that only you can do. The scripture says, his ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And I think that's a fur piece. I don't think there's any. It's infinite. But his ways are perfect. And he is love. He loves us. We stand on the promises of his word. He loves us. He rules. We're on the winning side. That's all there is to it. There's not a circumstance, there's not a situation, there's not a controversy that he is not aware of and makes the final call in that we cannot benefit from by simply trusting our precious Lord and resting in him. And as we do, and those around us, they see something that's different. And those hearts that are truly seekers, they will ask. They will ask of that hope. And again, it's not a matter of preaching a sermon and giving them a bunch of scriptures. It's a matter of just saying, let me share with you what the Lord has done for me. He is so good. He loves us. And our testimonies will be different. I mean, if he's never made two snowflakes alike, he sure has never made two human beings alike. And so we're all different, but he is so faithful to be able to save us in spite of ourselves and redeem us and bring us into himself in love and mercy, and he wants to reach out through us to touch others. I didn't mean to get into all that, but I just wanted to encourage anybody here this morning, as we wait on the Lord, as we look to him together, let's just trust him to lay a thought here or there. Don't quench it. By God's grace, and that was shared this morning too, because we're all guilty at times of quenching his spirit when he would so much desire to speak through us or to do something through us, to bless or help somebody else. God helps us to be sensitive and yielded. Amen. A vessel meet for his use. Praise God. So I just wanted to encourage you. You've got something. The Lord gives you something, lays you out, and it's just a short testimony, whatever. Please feel free. Let's be free. Amen. Praise God.
Definitely by faith, but praise God. We don't trust in ourselves. We just trust in the Lord when we move, don't we? I just share a thought I had, and the scripture Lord gave me is in Psalms 107, and verse 1. And we just trust God with this, and you know he's Lord of all, isn't he? It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I tell you what, we got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Whew. Then they cried out to the Lord, in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. I tell you what, what's the key there? The key is that they looked to the Lord and they cried out to him. And he said that he delivered them. That's our testimony, isn't it? We all come to that place where we get in distress, but thank God we can look to him and he delivers us from our failures. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. This is something that stood out to me here. It says, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. Whew, praise the Lord for that. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. I know, you know, when you've been, like Addis mentioned this morning, when you've been through a hard time, I can look back at certain things in my life and my testimony. When you could do nothing but turn to God and you could cry out to him, just like this mentioned. God is there to heal you, to reach out, pick you up. He's a faithful Lord. And I was just thinking, you know, the enemy was mentioned this morning. We are in the house of God. Satan has no right in this church. If you have a need in your life, you cry out to God. He's there to deliver you. And he will not fail you. And he will pick you up. And you'll have a life that you never had before. It'll be a life in Christ. And there's nothing better, nothing will ever be what you can have in the Lord. And his peace, his rest. Even when you fall in the mud, you know, he's still there to lift you up. And anyway, I just thought I'd share that. The Lord is so good, isn't he? He's so faithful to his people. Praise God.
I'd like to give a little testimony. There's a scripture in the Bible, and it says, there's no greater joy than to see my children serving the Lord. And I just want to give a testimony. You know, I'm really blessed. I have a daughter and a son, and they have lots of children. So I have lots of grandbabies. I have 5 grandsons and 2 granddaughters. I'm really blessed. And I'm really blessed that, you know, they're churchgoers and they love the Lord. It makes me really happy. It really does. You know, whenever we're all together, and Josh and Brittany have to bring theirs up from Florida, and Kendall and Jesse, they're kind of close, but when we're all together, I think that's when I'm happiest. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. Whenever they come up, they like to play games and cards, and we used to play this game. It was Ron and Linda taught us this game. It was called Dutch Blitz. And you have to be really fast. You got to have a lot of good reaction time. Or maybe the game spoons. But I won't play with them because Jesse, he's just too fast. I think whenever Jesse had tried out for that position as a dispatcher, you had to be able to type fast. I believe he could do, what was it, Kenny? 90 or 100 words a minute typing. You wouldn't have thought it from Jesse, but he's quite talented. But don't ever play against him in Dutch Blitz. He's too fast for you. You won't beat him. But whenever we're all together, And I can go to bed early. I can rest. And I hear them in there. They're playing and they're laughing and having a good time. And the grandbabies are playing. Sometimes they're upstairs playing. I hear them up there, boom, 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 on the ceiling. And I just rest. Because my house is full. My house is full. It's a scripture that came to me this morning during the men's meeting. My phone, I didn't charge my phone last night, so it's going dead. It says, then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes, the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. God's got a big house, and it's a lot of joy. It's nothing but joy. No sickness, sadness, sorrow, pain, or death. And it's real. It's real. And he wants his house to be full. He wants his house to be full. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all the world, to all nations, to all kindreds, to all tongues, to all men. And then the end shall come. If you look in Revelations in chapter 7, it says, I saw a multitude that could not be numbered, of all nations, of all kindred, of all tongues. And those are the people. There will be a representation in heaven from every nation, every kindred, every tongue. The gospel is going out, and we should be thankful to be part of that. I'm just thankful that we can be a part of that. And don't wait till the end. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Serve the Lord and all his benefits. Thank the Lord.
Praise God. I appreciate being here this morning. I appreciate God's presence with us. Just had a couple scriptures come to me from, I guess, from our men's meeting. And just, I guess, over the past few months, just how the Lord is reaching out. You know, like Tim said, he's got a big house, and he's going to fill it. And guess what? He's going to use his people as tools to fill that house. So what kind of people ought to be is kind of the question I've been asking myself. Scripture that came to me is, if you want to turn there, it's in Colossians 4. The very first part says, devote yourselves to prayer. And I stopped right there and I said, you know, what is my prayer life about? What should my prayer life be? Lord, how should I pray? And my thoughts went to Matthew chapter 6. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I tell you what, that's where we live. You know that he wants his kingdom to come here on this earth, which it is. When Christ came, he is now living in us. If we have given our hearts to Christ, our lives to Christ, what did he promise to do? He promised to give his spirit to us, to actually come in and live with us and live out through us to a dying world. That's the message of the gospel. He raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms this morning. We're with him, but guess what? Right now, we're walking out salvation. And he is calling us, I believe, like never before, to his great commission. Because all authority has been given to him on heaven and earth, therefore go and make disciples. Well, how do we do that? We've got to be connected to our Father. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here you go. Give us our daily bread. Well, what is that? What does that mean? God, give us what we need for today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because I tell you what, as we walk in this earth, sin can deceive us. We're believers, but guess what? If we don't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, man, we can end up in a bad spot and be of no use at all to the Father. But he's got better for us, doesn't he? And we have to keep our eyes fixed. Give us our daily bread, God. Give us that food that we need. And that ain't just us going to the table, that's coming to God's word, saying, God, give me something. Because what is his word? It's living and active. What does that mean? It's living right now. It's active to help me, to help those people I'm going to come into contact with throughout my day. It says, forgive us our debts. And man, I got a pile of them. Praise God for God's forgiveness, right? I tell you what, man, under the blood of Jesus is where we stay. And I'm thankful for that. The enemy will try to get us out from that, because I tell you what, man, if we start looking in the mirror, we may get down and say, man, there ain't much being done here. But I tell you what, we're under the blood of Christ this morning. Forgive us as we also, look at this, this is past, present, and future, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I tell you what, man, people are going to do stuff to us, but guess what? Let's forgive them. Let's forgive them and move on. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Does anybody need any help for that? I know I do. Not only from the evil one, but the old flesh I see in the mirror when I look in there and said, that guy right there, he can get out of control. He needs Jesus Christ today more than I needed him yesterday. But I tell you this, what does it say? Ask, ye shall receive. Lord, give us the power over this old flesh that we may live for you. You know, he's going to do that. He's promised this. It says, ask, ye shall receive, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and the door shall be open. One of the scriptures that came to me as well, I'm going to read the one that the Lord gave me here in Colossians 4, if you want to turn over there. You may have already turned there. But it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Why are we watchful? We're looking for an opportunity that God's going to open the door. And then being thankful, man, God's opened a door here for his message of life to let that light shine out through. Because what does light do? It dispels darkness. And I tell you what, man, that's what I need in my life. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Do you know, is anybody here smart enough to figure out the mystery of Christ? The guy on the way there in the desert, was it the Ethiopian? He needed someone to come along beside him in that carriage. And so he said, I'm reading, but how can I understand unless someone tells me? We're not smart enough to figure it out, but I tell you this, if Christ is in us, he's got the power to do that. You know he can use you no matter what. You look into him, there is no telling what he can do through your life to touch other people's life. He can actually snatch people and rescue them from the dominion of darkness, because that's what he's done for us, every single one of us in here. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You know, we need to pray for one another as the Lord brings us throughout the day, man, as we're communing with the Lord. Because I tell you what, man, that's what worship is all about. Worship is not something we come at. Yeah, this is an aspect of it. But worship is something that we do every single day in communion with our Father. God, give us today our daily bread. Give us what I need right now, today, present tense. Pray that we may proclaim it, each one of us, clearly as we should. Be wise in the very way you act toward outsiders. Did we hear that this morning when we were in the men's meeting? Make the most out of every opportunity. Lord, help us to make the most out of that opportunity. Let your conversation, this is really good, be always full of grace. Full of grace. Seasoned with salt. That doesn't mean be salty to people. But we are the salt of the earth. God has given us something different, right? He's given us something different whenever people see us and the words that we speak. They have something in them, and it's not us. It's the living Christ in us, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We've heard that today, too, and I appreciate the Lord is helping us in this aspect. I know he's helping me in my life, and I know he's helping you in your life, because I tell you what, man, the hour we're living in, this is, I want to get to this scripture, too. If you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. This is the ministry of reconciliation. I believe this goes along, too, with what we heard in the men's meeting, but also what has been shared here. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I'll tell you what, man, there's a lot of views of people out there. We need to see people through the eyes of Christ. What did he have? He had compassion. We heard this, I guess, in the last week or so. He wept because he saw that people had no shepherd. We didn't know which way to go till God shined, opened our eyes, and we bowed the knee to him in repentance and gave our lives to him. He came in and rescued us. But it says, he says, and that's how Christ does not want us to view people. I don't care where they're at, what darkness they're in, because I tell you what, it doesn't take long to look around to see that people are in bad shape without Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't have him, you've got nothing. You've got one thing in store, punishment forever. There's only one way out, and it's through Jesus Christ. He says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we didn't want to know Christ. Were we at enmity with God? That's what God tells us. We were objects of wrath is what we were set up for. But man, in his great love and mercy, he brought Jesus Christ here. And it says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Praise God for that. You know that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You are no longer an object of wrath. You're an object of delight for the Lord, that he will use you. How about that? Delight in that a little bit when you wake up in the morning. That'll set your feet to dancing. The old has gone. Whew. This is by faith a lot of times, because I tell you what, we stumble and fall in many ways, don't we? Scripture tells us that. The old is gone, but praise God, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I tell you what, when I look in the mirror, I don't see the face of reconciliation a lot of times, but I'm going by God's word. I'm not going by what I see. I'm going by what God has done for me. I'm taking my stand on his word, not on what the enemy says about me, not what I even say about my own self. My identity now is in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Oh, let's see here. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Man, we just sang about this, didn't we? It says, and he has committed to us, he's actually placed it in our lap, in our hands, to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Because what? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Praise God. I tell you what, we have a lot to be thankful for this morning, man. And let's pray for one another. Man, because we're living in an hour where, man, the enemy, I'll tell you where the battlefield is. For some of us, as we get the old white hair and some of it starts missing, the battlefield is the old flesh, man. That thing breaks down, right? Can anybody say amen to that? And for some of us, it's a mental battle. It's a mental battle for every one of them. And then you throw the physical in there. I know the old white hairs, man, they're saying, it's not just physical, JP, it's mental too. Because, man, but the Lord will help us as we cry out for one another. Let's cry out to God. He's going to help us. Let's ask him to, you know, the biggest thing about this whole kingdom is he's building a family, a forever family. And we're part of that process. And we're in the process. Praise God. I just thank the Lord this morning, and praise God.
Praise God. The Lord's worthy, isn't he? I tell you, there was a whole lot of songs we sang this morning that totally lifted up the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. He is the only salvation. He's still the only one. He's the only one that can see every heart here and hear every prayer even when it's not spoken. He sees the cry of the heart. And it's like Danny started there with Anna and Addison about being in a dark place and just crying out to God. God hears the cry of our heart even if we don't form words. That's how great he is. And I just appreciate so much his headship, his salvation, his strength. And what's been shared, a lot of what's been shared here this morning was shared down in our men's meeting. And one of the things, one of the main themes was to let our light shine. And the Lord is still that light. And he's still shining. And he is shining in a very dark world. I don't care how dark this world gets, Jesus Christ is alive and well. He is bright. You know, when the choir was up here singing, they were singing so much about the Lord. You know, he was God in the flesh. And when you see God in the flesh, you see a great light. And we can see it and it be in front of us and us still be blind to it. It takes the Lord to open our eyes. It also takes You know, a lot has been said, too, about us looking to the Lord, you know, so that we can be a light, that we can share with others. That verse that says, let us be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us, that means somebody's asking. Somebody's saying, what is it that's different about you, man? I mean, you are different. Well, it's that light in here. If any man be in Christ, I'll tell you what, he is a new creature. And there's nothing that we can boast in except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, you know, again, so much of what came out this morning was what came out this morning downstairs. And, you know, we are, our whole purpose in this life is to yield to God, look to God, have our vessel yielded to him so that he can come forth and do what he did when he was here. Because he's in his people. And, you know, I was thinking, too, this morning, even just waiting on the Lord as we started. Carl got up here and said, you know, if you're visiting here and there's like an awkward silence, nobody likes awkward silence. It's like, let's get up and do something, even if it's wrong. That's no good. That has bad results. What you end up having is just the flesh, the natural mind, and it can read half the Bible and everybody goes to sleep and dies. You know, the letter is the words that he speaks that are life. And that's what we need. And that's why I appreciate, even as I thought about it as we were waiting, it takes more faith and grace sometimes to wait than it does to do something. Amen. And so it, as vessels, as we've been used of the Lord, it's not so much about reading the whole Bible and memorizing every scripture and knowing where everything's at. It's, I know my Father who is in heaven. And as I go to him and ask him to fill me, to give me, open doors for me. That's one of the scriptures that JP just used. Knock and the door will be open. It didn't tell us to knock the door down. It said you knock until it's open. And when the Lord opens a door, his spirit is shared freely. It's not with force. It's not with man's wisdom. It's the spirit of the living God. And I tell you, when the spirit shares the spirit, it's the life of Christ. And that's what this dark world needs. And, you know, when we were down there in the meeting this morning talking, that was one of the things I remembered, and I think JP just mentioned. I'm going to read this account. It's in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and it's the account of Philip and the Ethiopian. And, you know, even though Philip, you know, we have different gifts, but regardless of what our gifts are, we need to ask the Father. We need to ask, seek, and knock, because he wants to give us everything we need. And it's not just for us. It's also for the good of others. You know, that's what, you know, what did Jesus do to satisfy himself? He never did anything. He denied himself. He told us, if we want to please the Lord, he said, "Let if you want to please the Lord, deny self, pick up your cross daily, and follow after me." The thing of it is, it can be a painful process. Excuse me, a time where we go through a lot of trials, but there is nothing that compares to serving Jesus Christ. Because when his life and his peace comes forth in our life, we realize this is our purpose on this earth while we're here, to glorify our God and Creator and our Father. And when that happens in our life, guess what? It affects other people. Other people are brought to the feet of him who saved us. And anyway, you know, one of the reasons we ask and we knock that the door would be opened. One of the things we all should pray for, I want to bring something back up, because there are two of the ladies here that have been working toward a soup kitchen. And I still remember when I heard about that. And, you know, it hasn't necessarily panned out necessarily the way they thought or wanted. But, you know, a lot of times the Lord will give us a burden and a desire and a passion for something or something. And by the time it materializes, it doesn't look like anything we thought it would turn into. Because his ways are not our ways. But I tell you what, if he put that desire in your heart, you keep looking to him, he is going to guide you. I think that was one of the things, I think it was Amanda and Dina, but Dina said that she was praying. It was like, Lord, how can I serve you with using food? Guess what? He's going to make a way. If he put that prayer in her heart and she's lifting her heart to him, and Amanda too, both of them, God's going to make a way. But the key thing is, God is the one who has to open the door. I'm just going to read this and I'll be done. This is the account of Philip and the Ethiopian. My mouth seems a little dry, but I'll get through this. Okay, here we go. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This guy was in pretty high standing. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. You know, we were singing a song this morning, and you know how it has under the line, you know, where the song means or the scripture reference. It was talking about singing in the spirit, and that scripture was from Isaiah. How can something be prophesied so long ago? And here we are this morning singing and worshiping the Lord, and we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That was prophesied that long ago. How can you work all those things out? That was back in Isaiah's day, but in this case, the Ethiopian eunuch is reading from the book of Isaiah, and everybody knows that's a pretty long book, like 66 chapters. But what's amazing is where he was reading. Anyway, okay, the Spirit told Philip. Philip's waiting on the Lord, but the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So he's just doing, the Lord's opening the door for Philip, but look what happens. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from him, taken from the earth. That man's reading about Jesus. And the one he's reading about told Philip, go over there. And it just so happens in that big book of Isaiah, he's reading the very thing that he needs to hear. And the Lord sends the very person to him to explain to him what he's talking about. And this is what it says. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And the bottom line, no matter what our calling is, what our gifts are, in the end, if we're yielded to Christ, it's going to point to Jesus. He's still the Savior. He is the Savior. There's only one. There were a lot of prophets. You know what? We don't pray to any prophet. There's one intercessor. He's the one that sees the hearts of all men. He sees your heart, your cry, whatever you're going through, every situation he knows about it. Is he an amazing Christ? The fact that he can meet every need right where we're at, whether it's said or unsaid, he knows it all. And our purpose is to lift him up, to give him praise, to magnify him, because he is worthy and he is a giver of all life. There's no life other than what's in Christ. I appreciate the service this morning. I mean, it's like Carl started out with, you know, it's not comfortable to get out of our comfort zone. But, you know, God has everything under control. He is the head of his church. He is the one building his church. And he can quicken the word to each individual whenever, whether it's out here, when you're on your job or in school or in your home or here. He it's like the psalmist said, quicken me according to your word. I think he's quickened us according to his word today. Do you? He is faithful. I want to give him praise. I thank him for his service, the service. I want to thank him for his presence, his word, and his life. Amen.
Praise God. I'll be quick because I know everybody's looking at their watch going like, oh, it's getting close to 12 o'clock. So I'll be quick. But there's been several things said all through the service that's made me think of a couple of things, even starting with Michael. You know, he said something about, I'm not really sure where that scripture is at and all this. And I just started thinking about, you know, we don't need to know every single thing. I don't know if there's anybody here that understands this Bible 100%. If you do understand it, don't admit it because you're bragging. But, you know, there's a lot of things in this Bible that we don't understand. I know for years we've heard Brother Thomas say, you know, if you don't understand something, put it on the shelf. God will reveal it to you later. But I thought about something I saw a couple years ago, and I'll preference this by saying this. All you Florida Gator fans, you can mute this, okay? So, I know you're going to say, I know that's not true. But anyway, when Bobby Bowden passed away, that was coach of the Florida State Seminoles. They did a thing on his life on ESPN. And this is a part I know you Gator fans won't believe, but he was supposed to be a godly man. I know y'all don't believe that. But anyway, they were talking about how he would get up every morning and he'd read his Bible. And he had a testimony that he would tell the players and coaches and things like that. And one thing that stood out to me was his son Terry got up one morning. I think they were on vacation, a family vacation or something like that. And he got up and he came down and said his dad was at the table reading something in the Bible. And he was looking at it, and he said, Dad, do you understand all of that? Do you understand all those words? And he said, no, I don't. He said, the only thing that I need to understand is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that should never perish and have everlasting life. And it just started making me think about some things, you know, and God's love's been mentioned here and there. You know, even Carl mentioned at the beginning about God's love. And I was thinking about this gospel is not complicated. It's a simple gospel. I remember one time Phil said, he said, it's simple. You repent and you believe. That's all there is to it. You don't have to understand every single thing. All you have to do is repent. God, forgive me of my sins, and I believe you are my Savior. I believe you are my Lord and Jesus Christ. That's it. And it was made mention, Danny was talking about crying out. You know, God hears the cries of his children. If you cry out to him, he will answer. He will answer you if you cry out. And I think it was Steve that said something about being quickened. And it made me think of this scripture. And I'll read it real quick and sit down. And it talks about God's love also. And it's in Ephesians 2, starting with the first verse. And it said, and you hath he quickened. He gave life to you. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, and I think it was JP that talked about the scripture about our conversation, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I remember James Reeves saying one time, thank God for the but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. He loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, he could have left us there. He could have walked away. I think, you know, talking about the trash this morning, we've all been in the trash. God reached down. He saw us. He said, that's my child right there. I'm going to reach down and I'm going to lift him up out of that miry clay, out of that pit, because I love him or her. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Thank God for that. by his grace. It's by grace ye are saved. There's nothing that we can boast about. There's not one thing we can boast about. What we can boast in is God, his love, his cross, his blood that was shed for us, how he died for us and rose again. That's the only thing that we can boast in is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his great love. And I was thinking about this, and I'm going to sit down. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Break that word down. Nothing, no thing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, God loves you. He would reach down and pick you up. Thank God for his love and his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Amen.